This is session number 225, recorded on December 21st, copyright 2009, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 7:44 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think I'll let Carolyn lead.
No.
Oh, damn. Well, I'll just bring up some
batting over your non-physical compliance so early, Bob.
Okay, so non-physical...
Can we summon Ken for a quick healing before we get to round up?
Okay, we gone into redacted mode already.
Yeah.
Gosh, that was quick. Yeah. One sentence.
We thought JW was cheeky, but this is going to be a very cheeky.
We're just glad you found the time for a redaction. So
yeah. Now, what did you said there's something about a non-physical device, appliance? You said some phrase. Bob, you're doing something, a non-physical something. Did you catch that, Carol?
No.
He made a joke, but
okay.
I didn't get it.
You can move past it, Bob.
Okay, so... last night, listening to session 34, finishing up, I remembered, with the help of electronic replay, the significance of the Great Wall. Why is the Great Wall so long and built so far removed from human beings, Carolyn?
I don't know why, Bob.
Well, you would have heard the reading and had forgotten it, like me.
Mm-hmm.
It was built from the future so that the future could see the fault line, tectonic line it stretches along. It's almost like a huge crevice is going up. And if we want to fix it, we got to know where it started. And that's what the Great Wall's for. How's that for a scenario?
Wow, that's...
And now, let's get you the rest of it.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
Since you've gotten this far, so here's the rest of it. That's the equivalent of asking just for the empirical reference. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's as close as you get because you don't know what to ask. But this is an asking that you've delved close to. Mm-hmm. Guess what was built for the foundation of the Great Wall of China that they used to fill that, what you call the rift of that line? Guess what was used to patch that fault line?
Titanium.
No.
Corundum.
No.
Gold.
No, way more valuable than any of that.
Well, there's platinum and... is it a metal?
Palladium?
No.
It's not a metal.
No.
I mean, some kind of etheric parallel world energy?
No.
Capstones.
No, what they use. Y'all are good. Normally you only guess the half one and say, we don't know.
I'll throw in the crown jewels.
Well... pretty much, guess what was used? The people, the souls or the bones of the people who actually built the walls, that's what was used. As the people would fall dead in the building of the wall, they would trample them into the crevices of the foundation, and that's what the point was. They worked them to death so they could use their, what they called spirits, to patch the... opening of what you call a rift or a tectonic expansion.
Wow.
So they...
that's why it's held for so long.
Well, what's power... is it the spiritual part, which is partly what I was saying, but is it the spirit in the bone or just the bone material itself?
The soul.
Well, no, it's the sacrificed human creator.
Mm-hmm.
The soul.
No... They couldn't trap the soul, but in this transition that was being caused, that transition is very powerful. Well, if those bones are continually piled, chinking up the holes, then you also always have a residue. The residue, the point of doing it was to encapsulate the spiritual residue of those marvelous, powerful, very ascended, powerful human creators.
The ones who did the digging or
the
building.
The ones that became the foot, the foot,
right. You're saying, well, the spiritual residue is like a ghost.
That's correct, but they, but see, Chinese understand it better than you do. They understand. They can take the ashes and imbue ashes of someone with that power, and those ashes can stand before you and dance.
Mm.
And you haven't gotten that far yet. And the only reason they have is because they don't care. But they understand the powerfulness of the human.
You know, I have a major Chinese archetype in me because I don't care. I'm half Chinese, right, Ian?
Whoa. Well,
no, I mean, I got the Chinese attitude, apparently.
Well,
the way they don't care.
Yeah, but they do a lot of bowing, and you're not much for bowing.
Oh, I'm an improvement on them. I one up the Chinese. All right. I'm not even going to bow. Okay, so sorry I brought myself in there.
Yeah.
So they have the spiritual residue.
Get you healed, Bob. Don't you worry. It'll be all right.
What'd you say?
We'll get you healed.
Oh, yeah, on the porch, the dog and all that, right?
Blue tick. You mean a blue tick.
Blue tick? Is that what dogs get?
No, blue tick is a type of hound known as healers.
Oh.
A blue tick is not an insect. It's a type
hound
of dog.
That heals well.
It's a healer.
It's a healer. Oh,
rabbit
healer.
Rabbit hole.
Not a healer. People.
I'm identifying a rabbit hole.
Yeah, no, not a healer, but they get healed well. Is that what you're saying, Kelly?
They heal well. They learn.
Well, no, a healer is what is the name of a dog that yields, that heals.
Ah, see, Kelly.
That heals what?
They give in. They sit. You know how they sit in.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we're all saying. Can we get on with it?
Oh, I was taking it as H-E-A-L, a healer.
No.
Okay, so the healer. All right, so the so you have this residue holding it together. Who organized the wall? You could say future terrestrials, but
Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, and you mean in future life?
In there the is future. No future. There is. No
I know. So she, an aspect of herself.
Bob, we were.
Oh, you were joking?
Yeah, Bob.
Bars, we possibly could go.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the Mongols. That's what it was. It's those Mongol dogs.
I'm not going to be long for this reading if you keep up this way. The two of you better heal.
Yeah, two of us being cheeky. Okay, Ion, I'm saying that you could just say maybe future terrestrials did it. Can you give us a little more details about what these future terrestrials had in mind and what's this rift that's coming? Is it a serious cracking of the planet?
No more than you're accustomed to. No more bigger cracking than you're accustomed to.
Well, why were they concerned to know where this rift was? See, that's why it was built, according to Session 34.
Well, it was, but the point, what they put out in the press was they were building a wall to keep, not to keep people out, to keep their countrymen in, to keep them from invading.
Other people, from invading other people.
Well, from the north, yes. And that was the whole ideology. But the point of how those boundaries and lines were made in the middle of nothingness was they kept noticing this San Andreas-like aperture that was starting to show up. And so, luckily, in this little before Ming Dynasty, they realized, hey, we better chink up these holes, so let's build a wall. That'll keep the invaders out. And those, there's a famous one, the what they call the Black Lord.
Not the Genghis Khan.
Yes, indeedy.
Mm.
Yeah, but here's the way you're saying it. They built it to keep people in, like it's a prison. But then you say, no, it was built to keep the northerners out.
No. If Genghis Khan came in, he would convert the people and they'd leave.
So they wanted to, so it was a prison wall.
No, it was a divination line to keep the Black Lord on his side of the fence. But it had a twofold purpose. It's like a dam. You know what a dam is in a water?
Yeah,
holds. Yeah.
It has two purposes. One purpose is to control the flow of water. Well, the other purpose is it creates a marvelous lake, a body of water. Same thing with your Great Wall of China. It kept a body of people on that concentration of that side, but it also constricted the flow of people outside of the wall or over the dam.
It kept people in and it kept people out. Different people.
Right. And kept them and kept it from that mingling.
Okay, so how many moons did it take to build this? I think, you know, no, wait a minute. It says in the Wikipedia 550 B.C. up to like the 16th century, like 2,000 years.
At least.
All right, so you said it's before the Ming Dynasty, but that's, you know, 1600 or something. It's well before the Ming Dynasty.
Well, they were building that long.
Yeah, and the Ming Dynasty is like in the 1600s in our terms, I think. It would be finished during the Ming Dynasty.
Correct.
Okay, so...
I say you say finished, they're still working on it today, so...
Okay, no, but, you know, a big chunk of it was done, but the...
That's right. Good, very good.
So how many souls transitioned from the experience and were buried?
3,468,902.
And the first number was 6 million?
2 million.
2 million, and what was the rest?
2,468,902.
Okay, so like 2.5 million, approximately.
Yeah.
And that's over the whole 2,000 years, correct?
We don't know the year business.
Oh, okay, over great spans, over many dynasties.
Only 3 days.
Okay, so we now know that. Is there something
now
about...
What do you know about that?
No, we now know the rift. It covered up. We know why they did it. And it was organized by people from the future, correct? No, you presented just the Chinese were just noticing and say, hey, we better do something about it. Not from...
Well, but yes, there was interaction. But you got to realize, see, you're asking the question like this is just the new hot pocket of the day. And it's not. The Chinese look at things from a different aspiration or aspect. Their ratios of that they calculate pixelation, they do it very differently than you do. They always knew it was. Okay?
So always knew the rift was or the wall?
They always knew everything is. They look at things different. They do it on a 10,000-year program. Mm-hmm. They don't care because of the 10,000-year... If you looked at your life in a 10,000-year program, you wouldn't care whether or not you had puffs today or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're on a 10-minute program, you better get those puffs now because they may not be there until you eat them all up now.
Right, so that's a good way to think about living in eternity. 10,000-year
program. It's a marvelous way, and it serves you well because it takes out all of those stops. You know, in an organ, you have the stops. Pull out all the stops in an organ. Let it flow.
Mm.
Well, same song, different verse.
Take all those stops out. Oh, and you used the organ the other day as a metaphor.
Yes, we like the organ because it gives you an experience of the difference of how vibration works.
Yeah.
And it's very tactile because you can feel it.
Right. So it's very important. Okay, so the Chinese... Well, we talk about future terrestrials, the Chinese people themselves are future terrestrials the way they think.
Stop, there's no future. Why do you throw that in?
Well, okay, they're now terrestrials. Well, was there help from the parallel world?
Ah, okay, now, yes, thank you. We can play with that. Yes, and the what you call the upper echelon, now they don't see it that way, but the upper echelon understood how even to make mounds spring eternal. And that's significant. Mounds, not the candy bar.
Mm.
Mounds spring eternal. And what that means is is you can take a dimension. Now, this is a little bit different. You've never gotten this far before, so this is new. You've got parallel worlds, but you also have dimensions. But we didn't want to confuse it because, you know, we didn't want to confuse it. But you have variegations of dimension, of dimensionality.
Mm-hmm.
Dimensionality. Expialidocious. Oh, wait, that's a different thing. Dimensionality.
Yeah.
Because you have slivering degrees.
Slivering?
Yeah.
Slivering degrees of separation within the established paradigm parallel world. Now that'll hit you about 18 months from tomorrow, Bob.
Well, that would be the organ. The organ's the metaphor of that.
Yes, 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 yes. But we didn't want to convert you into that dimension of understanding because you just now get in the place that you could very cohesively speak of a parallel world and know when the appropriate time to referencing ask the question regarding it. Because then you'll be, the next 30 seconds will be, well, there's degrees of parallel worlds, and we were trying to figure out how to go to one and get back, and now there's degrees of separation within the steps that go through those parallel worlds, so now we're going to go into 1/10 of a level of the parallel world of love potion number 9, and that you see, it just gets you all screwed up, but the Chinese don't see it that way. They look at it as is, as time, as is, without the timed part. And if you could just embrace that, you could find superior comfort in one grain of rice. They do that. They learn. Take their chopsticks and pick up one grain of rice. And when you do that, you're very well focused on your now. Because once you're able to do that, you understand now. And if you go to their culture and watch them, they'll watch you. And if you find the patience and capacity to pick up one grain of rice, now we're not talking about sticky rice, we're talking about regular cooked rice, one grain of rice with your chopsticks, they know that you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got it. And if you notice, there's great practice, but they won't. They practice you in the art of eating with chopsticks, but they won't teach you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to naturally come to the place to be able to eat with chopsticks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that eating one seed is a sign of deliciousness, that you are appreciating every little one.
Well, you start understanding how the dynamic of all rice when you can pick up one grain of it.
Are you talking about the skill of picking up one with the chopsticks?
Yes.
Oh, okay, the skill.
It's a displacement of time. The dispelling of time.
When you can do that.
Because you can't just pick up chopsticks and do that. Unless you have no time. And if you have no time, then you can. Well, if you have no time, then you're already on our side of the bus. Well, if you're on our side of the bus, then all of a sudden you don't even ask that question. You understand that rice could be like days. How many grains of rice are there? Well, how many days are there? Well, how many do you have left? Well, how many did you have to start with? Well, when did you get the first one? Well, how does this grain of rice differ from the olden days? Like, how will the grain of rice be in the future days? And they'll get up and leave the room. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? Rice is rice. Rice is rice. It's not future rice or past rice or next rice or last rice or no rice after the last rice. That's what they give you when you're croaked. I'm sorry. But if you look at it from that way, it would be like, which wave is going to hit me? And you go, wait, what? I want to know specifically which wave it is that's going to wipe me out and when. Well, it's a wave. No, which wave? There are a lot lot of ways, on that particular wave. When you isolate the individual particular wave, then you've negated the ocean. See, now you've divvied up the ocean into a vibrational lineage of retrospective insight. And that's what we're trying to give you, the softer part. Now, we're being a little, we're just answering the question, so you're just lost and undone, and that's okay. Don't worry about it. You will get it. But every time we turn around, you, in your place of asking, force your physicalness into a new place. If you look at your website now and actually look at it and pay attention to it, it's kind of like those are the olden days. Those were the good old days. It's not fresh and new, but it's fresh. It's so fresh and new for everyone else that it's rocking their world. And you're like, well, doesn't everybody know Michael Jackson transitioned into another world and he didn't die? That's old hat. I mean, that you don't even give that any credence. You know what I mean?
Okay, where were we about the upper echelon understands how to make mound spring eternal? Did you stray from that, or were you explaining
that?
No,
we didn't want to confuse you, so we just sort of let it lay right there. And we figured it'd rock along in a few months, and then you'd ask the question again.
No, we want to know now.
All right, then get it. Here you go.
Yeah.
One time through. Shangri-La has fountains. Those fountains spring eternal. You now have a different conceptual view of your own time dance continuum involving evoking in the dimensions of parallel worlds that you can have a drink of water from another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to leave it that way because you can embrace a dimension sometimes more than a parallel world.
Mm.
But then, see, that's undone when you start talking about the vast number of parallel worlds. So if it's a fountain that springs eternal, it becomes quite a seamless connection within the dimension. Not to mention the worlds.
Bobby, you have to stop chewing nuts.
Well, my mute is not
in
on.
In my ear.
Oh, I thought the mute was on. Sorry. Anyways, what was that last word? Mounts, bounce? What was that?
It's,
in our world.
It's a fountain that springs eternal and becomes a seamless connection within the dimensions.
No, there was this last word, and he said, in your world, but I don't think it was the word world. It's the very last word.
Was it not in parallel worlds?
No.
Yes, it was, dear.
Thank you.
No, it wasn't. It was in your world would be the logical word. Blah, blah, blah.
No, it's not. It's a fountain that springs eternal and becomes a seamless connection within the dimensions, not in parallel worlds.
Well, it is parallel worlds, but if we explain it that way, you get lost and undone. It'll spook you. So that's why we brought it from the place of dimension.
Well, isn't music a good way to talk about this? It's like dimensions,
well,
as opposed,
if you like,
to, dimensions as opposed to worlds is like timbre as opposed to pitch as opposed to melody as opposed to harmony. You know what I mean? These musical references, keys, these words. Is that what you're saying within?
That's appropriate unless that does not, if that's the way to get folks to embrace it, then yes, that's exactly what we're saying.
Yeah.
But if they have issue with it, then no, that's not what we're saying, because then they won't understand fortissimo and staccato, and then they get lost in the rules and the regulation of even how music flows.
Right.
So as long as you get that and you can tell me that you love me in the key of G, okay, we're good. But if E flat just messes up your world, then leave it alone. The point was to include, not to exclude. So, there you go. All right, now, the dirt. The dirt of the dirty dirt. The dirt. They might be igneous rock formations, but those outcroppings that you get, igneous, that's hysterical.
What is igneous? It's a rock?
Well, no, igneous is the rock formation.
Oh.
But we were calling it in Ignatius, as in the papacy.
Ah, okay, Ignatius Loyola.
Exactly, precisely, good.
That's like the rock. Once the printing press came in, the new rock for the Vatican was Ignatius Loyola, the Jesuits.
Ta-da! So, that place, there are rock formations and types of metamorphic and igneous rock outcroppings and formations that are not. And you go, Ion, what the hell are you talking about? How can there be rocks that aren't? Well, there are.
Yeah, that's like when I was trying to figure out how could an obelisk be sitting there in Cairo from another world, but we're looking at it and touching it, but it's from another world. It's something like that. It's seamless.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. And see, that's even in this world. Now, that's not a parallel world. That's not a future world. That's not a past world. It didn't help him because all of this click-clock, tick-tocks of time, he hadn't found it. And it's only now that you discover it. Well, that can't be from a future experience. Now we're talking about the rocks.
Yeah.
That can't be from a future experience because it hasn't been found yet. So it would be much more logical for a future place to go further back into your recorded past and plant it so that you don't get caught unaware of this unknown, being here 10,000 million years, anomaly of something that is not.
It's interesting how...
Well, no, you just undid yourself. You said it's from a parallel world, and then it can't be from a future experience because it hasn't been found yet. Okay, gotcha.
In this world.
Right.
But see, when you start giving dimensionality to it, all of a sudden you have steps. So then, therefore, you can have a rock that you never found before, so far, and not from a future experience, they plant it now for you just to find it. Well, no, if they could do that, it would be much easier to move it to a future past and tuck it away so they can find it now, which is your typical topic of discussion. That fits into your 10-minute plan rather than your 10,000-year plan. Okay? So, that's the softest way to say it. But now what we were trying to get to was, like Shangri-La, like the Inset temples at Aswan, like your Mayan temples. Well, we don't want to get into that right this second, because when we start naming it, it's going to get real pinpointed, and they're going to know where to look for stuff that they haven't known to look for yet. It's going to complete things, so let's just leave that alone for now. You'll ask Bob later, and we'll give it to you, but it's just too much right this second. And also your poles, North Pole, South Pole.
Right.
The true poles. Now, some of the Tinian philosophy says that the points of your dirt planet are where a dodecahedron points on your planet. Okay?
Who's Tinian? Who's Tinian?
It's a type of linear physics that no one embraces.
Right.
Okay? It has to do with wavelengths, but they can't, they can't prove it, but they're proving it, but they can't disprove it yet, so they're just kind of playing with it. But long story short, or short story long, maybe this one's a short story long, is that type of dynamic has a real easy, simple way of explaining it from those points.
The dodecahedron dynamic.
Points. On the inside, say you have a dodecahedron, then you cover it with earth, make a ball. The points that line up with a dodecahedron then become focal areas for what you call your electromagnetism within the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Not gravity, electromagnetism, because there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the places where you can then access a Shangri-La. confusing that could get in about 1 second.
Where do the dodecahedrons come from?
Shapes, the physics dynamic of putting together angles.
The Dan Winter stuff.
No,
he shows how, you know, the Fibonacci spiral circles, and then you can get the original Hebrew shapes for numbers and that, you know. It probably came from before that, but yeah, the angles of numbers, Carol.
You loosen a arguing for your limitation when you limit it just to alphanumerics or into numerical code.
Yeah.
Because even your code, you have it all worked out. It's either a zero or a one. So you think.
Yeah. So I'm getting Shangri-La accounts like this igneous rock that's there, but not. You see, that's what Shangri-La is. Carol's just laughing at something.
And when you go, you won't want to talk about it when you come back.
When you go to Shangri-La, you won't want to talk about when you come back.
That's correct. Those that have been aren't talking.
Because it's just too ridiculous to try to
explain. No, it's not delicious. It's not ridiculous. It's delicious. It's fabulous, but they don't want to come back and rub it in your face that they got it and you don't even know to ask for it.
Why don't they want to rub it in people's faces?
Because then they would think they would see their ascension anyway, and that's the one that they seem to get to shooting at first.
Wait a minute. They would see the ascension of themselves, the one who was going to rub it in.
Of the one getting...
That you're rubbing it into. The one getting the abuse?
No,
we have to, which one? They see the ascension in who? Themselves? Themselves is the guy just coming back.
Because they see the ascension themselves, so they won't discuss it. If you go to Shangri-La, when you come out of it, you won't ask or talk about or get on the radio and say, you won't believe what happened to me. I went to Shangri-La, learned how to eat rice one grain at a time. I learned how the Fountain of Youth really works. I understand how the pinpoints on the planet arrange and align themselves. I understand all this stuff. Once you figure that out and know that, Bob, you ain't telling none of that.
Because you're ascended, or you wouldn't want to interrupt someone else's ascension.
We just can't wait for you to be ascended, Bob, so you'll know.
Right. Very good. That's right. We're very patiently enjoying your
yeah. Well, okay.
Your disconnection.
I don't detect any patience here when you won't even let me ask my question. So I come back and I see someone. I see the ascension in myself, or I see the ascension in them, the potential, that's why I keep it to myself. Okay. You don't violate, I can't be negative and make fun of somebody or tease them. That's, you'd be afraid of that because that'll stop my ascension. You don't mean that. You don't mean that, right? You don't mean being fearful of being bad.
No, we didn't say anything about fearful or there is
no I know,
bad.
No.
But once you understand these little things, you just understand and know them. You don't have to engage them or have less than.
Yeah, but I'm making an interesting point here.
You are. It's valid. There's no question.
The point is that people would come back from Shangri-La and say, "Oh, I had a precious experience. I'm not going to rub it in other people's faces because then I'll get black marks and I won't ascend." That is false premise thinking.
It is, but they wouldn't even consider that as a thought process.
Yeah, so there's another level, there's another kind
there
of thinking
there
that's
is
happening. I come back and, like, I don't want to tell you about it because then you will never get there and you just feel inadequate, and that's not good because you just ain't going to get there. Not this time, not this lifetime. Something like you have pity for them.
How many lifetimes do you have?
How many
eternal lives do you enjoy?
None. So the point is that you blocked it out. It's such a delicious experience. You pity them.
Yes.
It's a kind of pity that's coming out of the ex-tourist from Shangri-La towards others, right?
Fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay.
But it's not as a condescension. It's not as a condescension. It's just that you don't ask that question anymore.
All right. So, Carolyn, carry on with your questions about this place or whatever you...
He was behaving there, Connie. It was good.
Yeah, this is all relevant. She's just too impatient.
It's all right.
Because she's not ascended, so she's a human.
Yes, she is. She's a doctor. She expects...
So, Carolyn, carry on with what you want.
No, I have to eat something. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Ian, you carry on. You were explaining to us about Shangri-La and how you wouldn't talk about it. Is that all? That's the only point there?
That's enough. There's a little more embedded, but you can't reach that.
Well, you were describing these different aspects of the world, and then you said when you go to Shangri-La, you can understand the geometry, the dodecahedron, and all that.
Yes.
But relate this back to the Great Wall. Is there any, like, somebody, I don't know. They did have parallel world interaction, but then you brought in dimensions. Is it dimension factor that you've introduced a part of the Great Wall communication?
Indirectly, yes.
Yeah, it's a dimensional thing.
Yes.
As opposed to parallel world. So I asked...
Correct. Now, you can have a parallel world, but that's why we didn't want to confuse it, you see. That's the anomaly that kind of gets you.
Yeah, I said, where's there communication with the parallel world? And you go, yeah, we'll accept that. But you hadn't got to it, but you could have said, well, no, Bob, it's another factor, dimensionality, which you then 5 minutes later got into, right? Rather than parallel world, but you knew within my framework, parallel world would mean something like
so
that.
How do we experience different dimensions?
Well, the easiest way is to convince the non-physical part that's already you to embrace physical meets that part of you that takes those opportunities of your labyrinth of your mind. It ascends the labyrinth of your mind. And when that happens, then you can instantaneously, like if you have your teeth kept and get under a black light, they glow.
Yeah.
Very, very white. It's very, very bright in a black light.
Yeah.
Okay, same thing as with your experiencing dimensions in your world, wherever you are.
Yeah.
You notice them, they'll light up a little differently than others see them.
Yeah, when you see the dimensions, they light up differently.
If you recognize them, yes.
Yeah. And,
correct.
And you might light up differently to yourself.
You do. You absolutely do.
So it's a lighting
aspect. Very good, very good. What is light? It's a vibration.
Right. It's timber and pitch. Like you can go to parallel worlds, but there's also timber and pitch involved in experiencing the seamless. Because if you are aware of the seamlessness of everything, then there's no boundaries on anything, so anything's possible, and any aspect could be developed and mutated on. Variegated. So, you know, when I listen to, you know, session 50, whatever it is, I get to the... And they first start talking about parallel worlds. No, when I'm talking about the Chinese, the Egyptian obelisk. And I go, well, how could this thing be there? Now, as Ion has said, we've changed, and we can imagine that the chapel is another world. You know what I mean?
Very good.
And
it's no problem if you have dimensionality.
Ah, you mean it is a problem if we don't include the understanding of dimensionality?
Well, that's been sort of your breakdown here, trying to calculate it, because there's no cut and dried... This is real and this is memory.
Because it's seamless. It's seamless.
If it is seamless, then it works. If it's not seamless, then you get crossways and you just let it go because you can't ever wrap around it.
Right. Now, is there a recording going on of organ music?
There is. We wanted to give you a little timbre and pitch. You were bringing it up and even slipping that into your box for your recording. This particular place is the perfect example of how it flows and flows and flows and flows.
Yeah.
There is no end to the movement.
And you definitely see that on mescaline or LSD. You see the fluidness.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And that just makes it real for the individual.
Yeah.
So that's great. Bach was just perfect at that. At that.
Sliding.
Imitation.
Slipping of
slipping, yeah, of that, slipping and sliding. Did he have the experiences physiologically? Did he have, you know, mescaline kind of trips?
He did.
Did he take mescaline to get it? Or something similar?
It would be your version of peyote.
Right. So, well, that's
because
a big...
Because they had lots of herbs, you know, snuff. Yeah. They had lots, they'd sniff snuff, which was more probably methamphetamine than it was snuff, but... That's just in the alchemist that was doing the compounding.
Yeah, it's incredible how what was going on 300 years ago is nowhere understood. Just like I was talking to someone tonight, and a young kid today would not know about the Beatles or anything. They'd only know maybe back to the 80s. So they don't know anything about the music way back. Just like we don't know anything before the American Revolution, where people were taking drugs now are considered bad, you know, the Nancy Reagan meme, but it was so part of the people's lives.
Yes, and normal.
Yeah, normal.
I mean, they used to put cocaine in Coca-Cola.
That was back in the still touching on the normal era. It still had a bit of that sensibility.
Yes.
So is it the power of J. Edgar Hoover, of creators, to cause a shift, or are there other dynamics that cause a shift so that people forget that's the way it was?
They would push against it so much so that it would give them all cancer, so they couldn't have it.
Yeah, what makes them think that they should push against it? The
contrast of the fussing and worrying about finding things to fuss and worry about.
Oh,
whereas if you turn it around like cancer does, has something, anything. Not like you with the least little tiny nothingness, but something important that's valuable for her being, she doesn't let it go. She's gonna settle it right then, if only in her own mind. Because if she does it then only in her own mind, then it takes the pressure off of her having to align with someone else's disconnection. But she can still empathetically understand, feel, live, love, embrace, allow, come to their place, that if she doesn't even know why they're card-carrying crazy, she doesn't care, because it settled it in her experience. And once that happens, then those dimensions, those layers of dimensions are easily picked. When we say picked, meaning selected, meaning sorted, orchestrated. We've used lots of words, so that covers lots of topics. Because one human can be one way, and the next minute they're a different way. Well, that's your slide rule.
That's your slivering and sliding.
Yes, indeed.
And back to dimensionality. Remember months ago when we were talking about parallel worlds, Ion, you talked about that. When you see a light or shift in the light or change in the light, then that's a parallel world.
Yeah.
Now it seems you're saying that's a dimension, different dimension.
No, well, but see, it can be, but to be clear, you were asking where babies came from, and we were saying from your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we're getting a little bit more into the dynamics of the details, because now you've got it enough that you can understand this whole dirty detail process of conception. So, that's all that was.
Okay, just, the
layering,
the informational layering of things.
If we just zinged it with you, just like magnesium, if you get too much of it, you'll know it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're agreeing with Carolyn that you were pointing out the dimensionality when you're talking about the glowing lights.
Yeah, as an example, sometimes tactile, but as an example, yes, good.
So in this world, are there different dimensions?
Yes.
And
finally,
right.
Yes.
So do we enumerate how many there are?
We don't. Well, unless you want to bring time into it, and then you don't have time to count them. There's lots.
Okay. So there's lots.
They're trying to work that out with their string theory. And they're not even doing very well with that, but they're trying, so it's trying.
It is
trying.
Usually they start by enumerating them, so, yeah, I see.
Well, and that's the problem, see, that's the issue.
And is there more of a description to a dimension than it's a light, shifting of light?
It's enough. Uh-huh. Because even that's changing. Because if you remember back in the beginning of days, the wavelengths are getting shorter through prismed light.
Right.
Do you remember that refraction level or degree is changing?
Right.
Well, if you start making that be the rule, and then the rule changes, now you have the exception. Well, then it becomes the example. Well, then it becomes the prodigy by which the sun was begat an heir.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That'll hit you about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, so we've got dimensions and we got parallel worlds, and each parallel world also has dimensions. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
So
multi-dimensional fields, even, mm-hmm. once you back off of it enough to get your wrap around it, mm-hmm. you can have multi-dimensional fields. Mm-hmm. So even from one view, you can have dimensions
mm-hmm.
within dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll give you dementia if you're not careful.
Okay, and is that enough for us to know right now?
But see how keyed up we, Bob, you always can tell how you're doing by how keyed up Carolyn is on the big picture. Now you're going to sift it back, get it down to every little micron, nanode bit of this, and we know this, it's okay. But Carolyn, it's good to get the bigger picture so she can just sort of wrap around it, and then she don't want to know the dirty details yet. She wants to make this work, and then we can find out more and more and more and more. But we understand your conundrum, Bob, and we'll get there, promise.
Okay, so we get that. What's next?
You want to play with El Nino?
Yeah, okay. Now, what was...
No, here's something I couldn't... you have seamless.
Okay, come a little closer, Bob. It's okay for us. We get you perfect, but you're going to hate your recording.
Yeah, just a second.
Because if Bob can't hear Bob's words,
mm-hmm.
somebody's going to have hell to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just a second. Now, you can hear me?
Oh, we've heard you all along. We're just saying so you don't corrupt your recording, that's all.
Is this better for the recording?
Yeah,
yes,
I can hear
much
you.
Better.
Okay, if it's a seamless word, because...
Are you walking? What's going on? You're all broken up.
Okay, it's because I'm in the bathroom.
Well, get out of it.
Well, I've been using it.
So,
okay. We now have dimensions added.
Well, we hope everything comes out all right.
Yeah. We had dimensions to parallel worlds. That's a subtle change or addition or...
A larger dynamic
larger
that you're
dynamic.
Now embracing.
But you talked about the bigger picture, Carol, again, the bigger picture. The bigger picture, Carol, is there's going to be endless shadings and mutations and alterations and variegations because in a seamless situation, there is no limit to what you can demarcate.
Even your stars won't be still.
Yeah. Everything is possible because...
No, everything is changing.
Everything's changing because there's...
That's what's possible.
Right. Everything's changing because there is no framework for anything.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you can finally throw away your goddamn box cutters because there is no boxes that you keep putting everything in compartmental boxes and there ain't any boxes. It won't hold it. And every time you try to put it in a box and seal it up, it squirts out. And then you feel less than because you worked so hard trying to box this in to get it to the point that you can't store it and stack it and can't go more than 5 high and can't go more than 3 wide. And then you can't get there. And then you get lost in the translation. And then you make a new word for being lost in the translation. Mm-hmm. And then you come to a place that you come up with the silliest word that's ever been thought up ever and decide that if you don't know and you can't figure it out, then you can Google. See? So it's this boxation. Boxation, that's the word.
Yeah, not
boxation. We're going to start your anti-boxation movement, Bob.
Yeah, not be fixated.
Does that mean we have a box body?
No, it means the body model is a boxing.
Well, Boxing Day is fun. Only problem is, and that's coming, you see. Yeah. So we had to give you a little Canadian influx a little bit. But the fun of this.
You don't have Boxing Day in the States?
No.
Oh.
There is not U.S. They don't have boxing.
Oh, okay. That's Canadian. Gotcha. Good job.
Well, actually, it's English, but
yeah.
You
Commonwealth.
Yes. Okay. So there you go. Now that's the bigger dynamic. Good, Bob. Good. And that'll be a whole section in and of itself, obviously. But we're talking about solstice work here, so we wanted to hit as many tops as we could.
Oh, how does this relate to the solstice?
Well, it can't be boxed.
The solstice is a demarcation, a box.
You know. A line of demarcation from the pivotal axis of how the world turns.
Mm.
Oh, wait, that's a soap opera.
Originally based on dodecahedron knowledge.
Well, developed to that, you see. It's trying to put even that in a box.
Yeah. So the labyrinth of the mind is the one that makes the boxes, and that's natural, but you ease toward living on the edge of it so you don't need as many boxes.
And then your labyrinth gets easier to navigate, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Wait a minute now. What happens when you get a labyrinth that you can navigate? It loses this valuation of a labyrinth.
Yeah. So then,
if it's a puzzle that's not a puzzle, then what is it?
Yeah, it's too bland. So the mind...
No. It's understood, and you can easily stroll through it.
Yeah.
Without the contrast, but yet you can still have it.
But I thought
without the contrast.
I thought you were I thought you were going to say, well, the mind will ask for a new mystery labyrinth.
No, we hope not. When you come to ascension, you won't have that even as a question. You'll come back to the place where you can go easy with it and just enjoy the deliciousness that is your creation, and you can have your mind on an easier path, even with some contrast, because there'll always be more. There's always more. Well, always more is a concept in and of itself that's quite an anomaly because, well, I want more. Well, you've already got enough. Well, how much is enough? No, I want more. Well, how much more? Well, you say, well, enough's enough. And we go, yes, and too much is some more. So, you see, it's not that it gets easier and easier because you care less and less and less. It gets easier.
But you get good at the less and less, but you never give it up totally.
Never, even in engaging with non-physical.
Right, so that means there'll always be a little bit of time.
No.
That one does not stay. Okay, a little bit of space then. A little bit of space as contrast.
Well, if you use space as a distance between you and you, absolutely.
Okay.
But when it becomes a timed event, you're screwed.
Well, that's interesting to think of space as a space between you and you, Carol. That's a good way to look at space. And time doesn't enter into that.
That's exactly correct. Yeah. Except for how, but you do, you go, okay, there's a space. Now, how long a time is it going to take me to get closer to me?
Yeah.
Well, that's up to you. No. We didn't know how much we're committing here before we go too far. Because we're not going to spend all this time trying to get me and me in the same proximity so that I could be even considering it the position of the fastest path of my joy until I know fully the time commitment that I'm going to have to go. Otherwise, I'll just stay where I am. Thanks for the fish.
Right. Now, the new things we've discussed, do they have something to do with the Great Wall of China phenomenon?
Well,
I don't think so on the surface.
Yes, it does on the surface. It's an example of something that you can't do.
You can't build the wall.
Can't do it. Haven't been able to build another pyramid.
Okay, so these...
Why not?
The why not is because you've got knowledge of dimensionality and a knowledge of parallel worlds, which go into the making of them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you forgot.
Yeah, we forgot.
Now, that's old school. Now, wait a minute. old school, that's the part you've already done.
Yeah.
So why can't you do it again?
You mean the world or me and Carolyn?
Pick one. It's
Old
party.
School. No, nobody.
Pyramid building. Why can't you build an Egyptian pyramid today, right now?
Well, I answered it. Because we don't include the dimensionality or parallel world knowledge or
Well, I understand, but we weren't going to let you off the hook. We were trying to drive home the point of if that technology that allowed it to be and you can't make it go away because it's standing before your very lying eyes, if that's true, but yet science would say the pyramids don't exist because you can't create them.
Right.
It's uncreatable, so therefore it's not. So it stands as a wonder of the world, meaning that they won't even take the time, and they've had several minutes to figure it out, how it even was constructed. They don't even know how it was constructed.
Yeah, yep. And we don't even know, they don't know, because I never knew they didn't know.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't
good.
I was not that involved with fascination with the pyramids, but it hadn't occurred to me that nobody could make them. Maybe, I don't know why.
Well, otherwise they would.
Yeah.
You'd be driving along a cornfield in Nebraska.
I confused my own lack of interest in them as I thought the rest of the world had a lack of interest, and that's why they didn't bother building them.
Oh,
lack of interest.
No. They've sieved every grain of sand all over it trying to figure it out, and they've not yet.
Okay, so the Great Wall of China, they all relate because we're talking about dimensionality and parallel world. The thing,
isn't it interesting? We're going to interrupt you if you don't mind. Isn't it interesting that the Great Wall of China is one of those wonders that can be seen from space?
It's interesting in the sense that you would think
they acknowledge the space.
Yeah, they were communicating to those that could be far away from the planet.
Well, they don't necessarily say it. That's what they mean. But is that what they're really saying?
Well, they're including
in
that awareness.
Space. Well, they're adding a dynamic that, depending on how big your box is, gives you a relative perspective field of dimension.
So what did the average Chinese peasant think of this who didn't know how it was built the last couple hundred years, thought of this thing if they ever saw it? What would they think caused it?
Well, they wouldn't see all of it. They'd just see the part where they were.
And they know that it went on for hundreds of miles, and they marvel at it, right?
Long miles.
What are the seven wonders of the world? I didn't know the Great Wall of China was one of the wonders of the world.
Oh, certainly. The Hanging Gardens
of Babylon.
Of Babylon.
Are they still around?
No, they can't find them now.
Okay, that's one.
Okay, the Giza Pyramid.
Yeah.
The Great Wall of China.
Oh, they do include that. Okay.
They do, certainly. The Sphinx is included. The gate, the what they call the gate, which would have been the gate, which includes the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
The gate? What gate?
You'll find out in a couple of hundred of your spans.
Yeah, but are you, the Leaning Tower of Pisa is part of that?
Yes.
Okay, so that's six. I think that's six.
Okay. Then you have they've changed those now, see, because you would even include Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
In a more recent one, but you're talking about the ancient one.
The ancient seven, I think they were.
Yes, that's correct. Now, the other would be then the library. Library.
Of Alexandria?
Of Alexandria.
Which doesn't exist.
Well.
Not there now.
Correct.
But it was, right. People way back then could see these things. So the Sphinx, the Giza, the Great Wall of China, the Babylons, the Tower of Pisa, that's five.
The Parthenon.
The Parthenon and the library. Those
and
are
the library.
Okay, so.
No, sorry. Wait, back up. You missed the best one. The original run would be the lighthouse. the lighthouse at the lighthouse in Turkey in
Smyrna.
Egypt.
Smyrna?
No. In Alexandria.
Was that where the library was?
Well, it was, but that wasn't the point. The lighthouse was the wonder.
Right, but Alexandria's near Cairo.
Well, really?
It was. I don't know,
it's
I thought.
It's a long walk. It's an even further drive, but it's a long walk.
So it's up in Turkey, Alexandria.
But that would be...
Alexandria's up in Turkey.
Sorry?
Alexandria's was up in Turkey?
No. Alexandria is in the country of Egypt, but it's the port of how you access Egypt.
And where is the lighthouse?
In Alexandria at that port.
Oh, because you said Turkey.
What's left of it?
You threw us off, I
think. But it's all right there. That's the whole point.
No, that's not Turkey. So what do you mean it's all right there? You brought in Turkey.
You can walk from Alexandria to Turkey.
Well, that's be going...
To connect.
You'd go through Israel, right?
No, you do not. Jerusalem, Israel is a long way from either side. That's the other side.
There's only one side.
Well,
you know, Cairo, you go along the Gaza Strip and up to Israel, over to Asia Minor. It curves to the right, to the left.
No, you go on the bottom side. Egypt is below it.
Yeah.
Well, but you... But
Turkey is way above it. It's above Israel. It's nowhere near
It is
Egypt.
Above it, but Israel is not very large.
Right, but so Turkey is very close to Israel. Is that what you're saying?
No. Turkey is very close to the same body of water where the Great Lighthouse was, especially when that was a wonderful...
Yeah, it touches the Mediterranean Sea.
It does.
So you would boat across from Alexandria to Turkey?
Or around. You don't even have to go across. It's just up above a bit.
How many miles? Let me get a clue what you're talking about.
It's about less than an hour boat ride. A slow boat.
So you mean Turkey slopes down and touches north of Israel? See, I can understand you are from Cairo to Israel, and then a few miles up the road is Turkey, if you mean that.
No, it's further. Israel is further from those geographic points, because the Cairo is a long way from Alexandria.
No, on the map I know, Alexandria is right to the right of Egypt and Cairo. Then you go up the right side, you get to Israel, then you go up to maybe Syria.
Okay.
Then
it's
you get Asia Minor,
drive.
A big chunk, thousands of miles away.
It's a further drive from Alexandria to Cairo than it is all the way across the entire country of Israel.
Yeah, okay, I got you, but... Turkey's up above, way miles away. Alexandria is not, the lighthouse is not near Turkey.
Okay.
Are you saying Alexandria is closer to Turkey than Alexandria is to Cairo? And
yes.
Is this the ancient Turkey?
Apparently.
Okay, let's stop. So you've got these seven ones. Do you want to discuss the El Nino?
The marvelous human creators are sick of this global warming business to the point where they're now making it cold, colder than usual. Instead of having a snow this early on, they're having feet of snow.
Yeah.
This snowstorm was so mammoth that you could actually see it from space.
Wow. This snowstorm covered most of North America or something?
Yes.
Yeah, I missed that. But anyways, that happened last week.
No, it happened the other day.
Right, and it was a huge... And you got snow in Georgia, right?
Yes.
And it was a big joke. It snowed in Amsterdam or Copenhagen when they were having the conference on global warming, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a joke.
That's just desserts, isn't it?
Yeah, so the human creators, the satirical human creators said, okay, let's dump this snow right in the middle of the conference.
There you go.
Timing was perfect. And intended. So what's El Nino got to do with that?
That's what caused it all to... That's what they're blaming it on, that's causing all this.
Is there an El Nino happening now?
Well, it's a season. El Nino and La Nina.
I see. It's a season, so that's the reason why the snow aberration happened. Okay. So now we have the volcano going on, about to erupt, you know, in the Philippines. That's just the beginning, isn't it?
Certainly.
Because human creators want it.
Yes.
What are they bored by? Why do they want it? Oh, we've probably done a lot on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what was W all antsy about getting into trance about? Is there something that you wanted to discuss?
Okay. We kind of mostly did from where you were. We wanted to hit on the pivot, the axis pivot has already begun. You're about 3.5 to 4 degrees of change, and it's going to have a significant effect on your chip body.
Right, and did that start 100 years ago? Like, what is...
No.
What's the timing? You mean the shifting of the axis?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not as dramatic as people think, but it'll,
right,
will affect things. And that's starting, like, 2 weeks ago or 2 years
August.
Ago? What?
August.
August it started. Definitely has a beginning point. So now we're having...
When you started noticing it.
And that was when the seismographs were noticing the rumbling?
Yes.
Right. So there is an incredible number, you know, you go on the earthquake place monitor and there just seems to be endless earthquakes. That is more than there was a year or two ago.
Certainly.
Okay. All right, we're not supposed to go too long. So
okay.
I think, let's see what the time is. Yeah, we better, it's been an hour and a half. That's too much enough.
Good.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the new dimensions that we discussed today.
Great, fine. And...